Just real quick, favorite artists, you would have like Elvis, Rihanna, Shakespeare. You're a favorite artist, like you have somebody, Elton John, somebody. Some of you hear something that they wrote and you think that's filled with some reflection of who that person is, and you get to know that person almost through their artwork. Is that true? Like, I mean, like none of you will ever get any closer to Drake than his lyrics and the sound of his music, but if you love him and you know his music, you think, oh, I feel like I know him a little bit. So when we say that the heavens declare the glory of God, there's a certain theme, there's a certain tempo that comes through God's creation, whereby we come closer to God because we have eyes in our head and we can see. So when I see a young man like this come up to pray, when I look at Casey, when I see Dino do announcements and the students sing, and later these young men and women kneeling before God, there's a look on their face that has the look of an author that wrote something about a life that matters with great purpose and meaning. It's with thanks that we can look at these folks and say, the heavens, God's creation, tells of the great work of God. Is that not true? Thank you. Thanks for praying.
All right. I invite you to take a posture of prayer with me. So let's take a moment to lay before God our praise and thanks, and also our pleas and requests. God of us all, you seek to find us no matter where we are on our journey. And when we come to realize your presence in our lives, something happens to our hearts. They begin to be warmed by your love, tender by your mercy. We pray to wake up to see your truth that's active in the world around us. Truth that heals, convicts, supports, brings life. And a truth which brings a great awakening within us, mind, body, and soul. We thank you this day for your relentless pursuit and love for us. We pray for our church, that together you would seek your will and offer ourselves to our communities in service to your glory. We pray for those who are sheltered from your love. May barriers be broken so they too would feel your presence. We pray for those around the world in uniform that are actively bringing peace where peace is non-existent. We pray for those who cannot pray for themselves and for those who cannot help themselves. Thank you, Lord, for your mercy and grace, and most of all for your love, a love that brings us back to you through the death of your Son.
First Corinthians 12, verse 12 through 26 reads, "For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in the one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and we were all made to drink of one Spirit. Indeed, the body does not consist of one member but of many. But as it is, God arranged the members in the body, each one of them, as he chose. If all were a single member, where would the body be? As it is, there are many members, yet one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, 'I have no need of you,' nor again the head to the feet, 'I have no need of you.' On the contrary, the members of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable, and those members of the body that we think are less honorable be clothed with greater honor, and our less respectable members are treated with greater respect, whereas our more respectable members do not need this. But God has so arranged the body, giving the greater honor to the inferior member, that there may be no dissension within the body, but the members may have the same care for one another. If one member suffers, all suffer together with it. If one member is honored, all rejoice together with it."
Good morning and welcome to Confirmation Sunday. It's good to see you here to support these young people as they make vows to join the church. Frank did a great job of reading our passage today, 1 Corinthians 12. That passage was written by Paul. And if you've sat here before and listened to a sermon or a message that's centered on a Paul piece of scripture, you'll know that we have to talk about this for a minute before we can talk about this for a few minutes. So here's what I have to let you know before we can let you know. Paul is a complicated figure. Paul writes a lot, and when he writes, he has one idea that usually builds on another idea that builds on another idea and another idea. So to extract a piece of scripture like we did that Frank read with no context before or after, it could be confusing because Paul gets really excited when he writes, all right? So I want to let you know what happened before Paul started talking about the body of Christ. Paul wrote a letter to the church in Corinth because they were experiencing problems. Problems were things that churches in the past had to deal with, not so much these days. So they had divisions. There were issues happening. People were squabbling. And so Paul wrote and he addressed each issue. And after each issue, he'd kind of talk about who Christ was and he'd reorient these people. He'd say, remember, this is who Christ is. Remember this division, but this is who Christ is, so that they'd know. And after he does that for 11 chapters, he gets to the 12th, which is where we are in our scripture today, and he talks about, now this is how the body of Christ works. Division, 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 here's how it handles, here's how to handle it, here's how to handle it. You are this. And he says, the closest thing you can really understand, if you want to understand the church, is to understand it as a body. Like a body with ears and eyes and a nose and hands and feet. You dig? All right. That's what Frank talked about. That's the setup to understanding this piece of scripture today. Now, something happened last week amongst these students that I think also does a good job, like Paul, explaining how the church functions. So every year we take the Confirmation 2 students to a camp for 3 days, 2 nights, and it's Camp Asbury. And we have a great group of adults that work with them, and they're committed, and they're good mentors. And one of the central parts of that whole camp is Saturday morning from 9 a.m. to noon. They hit up the low ropes course. And the low ropes course is like this bunch of activities and exercises in the woods that gets the people who participate in it to work on teamwork and communication and leadership and functioning well together. So really, for us, it's like 3 hours of watching teenagers yell and scream at each other and disagree about stuff. But it happens eventually, and it works. So it's a lot of fun, and especially if you're not participating and you get to watch. And one of the exercises was more memorable than the others, and I want to describe it to you. It was an exercise where you had two trees, picture this in your head, two trees about 20 feet or so apart, and they were cabled together with about a half inch thick wire cable 18 inches off the ground, right? And parallel to that wire cable was another one about 10 feet higher strung between the two trees. And in the middle of that upper cable was a hook through which a rope ran through, and the rope that ran through it came down to the opposite sides of the trees. You picturing this? So then you take two people, one at opposite ends, and they each get on this lower 18 inches off the ground cable, and they try to balance, and they grab that rope, which is connected to the other person through that top cable, and they have to balance. And the idea is the instructions they're given are, you know, hanging onto this rope, cross the cable, passing your partner, and get to the opposite tree. That's what they're supposed to do. And so they attempt this, and they get on, and the feet, and what happens oftentimes is like they wobble, and their hips are going, and their shoulders are moving back and forth, and they're trying to hold onto this rope. And what happens every time is that in order to stabilize themselves, they pull real hard, which throws the other one off. And the other one's like, ah! And then they yell at each other. You guys, settle down. Stop, stop. It's okay, it's okay. Think about it. And then, like, they'll get on, and they're holding the tree, and they're wobbling. They're looking up at the thing, and they're looking down at the ground. They're looking at the people trying to spot them to make sure they're not falling off. And it's just this fiasco of trying to get two individuals to cross this cable and move to the opposite trees. The secret to this exercise, if you ever find yourself in a forest with a cable between trees and you got to figure out how to cross them, is this. You're supposed to communicate with the other person so that you each put equal tension on the rope. Lower your center of gravity down and look at the other person. Don't look up, don't look down. And by keeping equal tension on the rope on opposite sides and locking eyes with the other person, it's like magic. You just 1 foot in front of the other and across this half-inch cable, to the other side. Even crossing paths on a cable with another person proves not to be too difficult. And they end up pulling this off, and it's great. And so that, to me, along with Paul's description of how the body of Christ works, is how the church works. It's like we're all on this cable with each other, and guess what? There's a cause and effect reaction to how we operate as a church. When you do something, somebody else feels it, and that is because you and I and the whole body of Christ is tied together. Our wires are crossed. If you're saying yes to this thing called church, we're in this together. And you know what happens as a result of that? That's why we feel the need to pray for one another, because we want the body to know about our concerns, our fears, and our praises. So we give prayer requests and we say, I'm going to pray for you. That's also why we fight with each other on committees, and you cross in paths and you think somebody looks at you sideways and there's a little bit of beef in between the church. It happens because we're a body of people. And so all of this goes on, and it's like we're on this cable together, pulling, trying to stabilize ourselves, but not realizing we're pulling somebody off on the other side. And while we're moving and trying to get steady, we're looking up and down, but we forget that there's somebody on the other side who is directly affected by our actions. That's a church. Again, it's hard to take a piece of Paul's writing out and isolate it. Because before this, it was all about divisions. Before this, it was all about remember who Christ is. And then he talks about the body in chapter 12. Guess what's in 1 Corinthians 13? It's all about love. The body of Christ is then told by Paul that in order for any of this to happen, you're going to have the kind of love that's patient and kind and does not boast, it's not proud of itself. That's the kind of love that is going to have to exist in the body in order for us to be stable on this cable, in order for us to work fluidly as the body of Christ. Because guess what? The more you get to know me, the more you're going to find out that you don't agree with me on a lot of things. A lot of things. And you're going to think, like, how can Matt think that? You're going to find that my values aren't your values. And you're going to think, how is this guy and me going to exist? And I'll tell you how. We're going to have to figure out the kind of love that Paul talks about in chapter 13. That's what's going to bring us all together. That's what's going to unify the body of Christ. Not just here, but between those other two traditional services that are before this. Those people, they're part of your body. And not just like this church, but there's other churches in this area, and there's other churches in this conference across the state, and nationally and internationally. Globally, we are a people of faith, and in order for us to figure out how to coexist, we're going to have to figure out how to love and be loved like and by Christ. That's what's going to make the church work. That, young people, is what we are inviting you into today. We want you to be a part of that kind of church. And so we're going to mess up from time to time a lot, many times, every day. But we're also going to figure it out. And we're actually going to be the body of Christ. And we're going to show the world the hands and the feet and the face and the heart of Jesus Christ. And that's when we're getting it right. So we want you to be a part of that. We want you to say yes to that. And you understand that when they say yes to that, the body changes a little bit. It's going to be affected. And they're going to be affected by the body of Christ as well. You know what that is? That's church. That's what it is to be a believer. That's what it is to follow Christ. You're starting a journey. You're starting a thing that when you say yes, you're opening yourself to becoming more like Christ. And it's not going to feel good all the time. That means you're going to have to go through some changes. Your truth that you think is true is going to have to change. Your reality that you think is real is going to have to change. You have to figure some new things out. But guess what? You become a more like Christ. And you get to do that along a body of people that care about you and love you, and you care about them and love them. So we want to say welcome. I'm going to ask you guys to come up and right now, and you can form a line right here across the front and face the crowd. Like right now. There you go. Right here. So for the last 3 weeks of class, myself and these young people, we talked about the vows they're about to take, the meaning of each vow, the depth of it, what it is to say yes and say I will. So each pastor is going to read a vow and they'll respond. And there's significant meaning behind this.
First, some ancient words by the founder of our movement, John Wesley. He said, the church belongs to God. It will live, even when it doesn't look like it, till the very end of time. It exists so that people connect to God and worship, that they learn the word together, that they're woven together in love, that we lift up and encourage each other and reach out to the brokenness of the world around us. Every person of every stage, of every station in life, stand in need of the means of grace which we supply together through God's grace and love. So, as a gang, would you say that you would be willing to accept the freedom and power that God gives you to do what's right and to resist what's wrong? If so, say, with God's help, I will.
And secondly, would you confess Jesus Christ as your Savior? Would you put your whole trust in his grace and promise to serve him as your Lord in unison with this thing we call the church, which Christ has opened to all people of all ages, nations, and races? Would you? Yes. Yes. Okay.
I like that.
And lastly, as members of this congregation, will you all faithfully participate in its ministries by your prayers, your presence, your gifts, your service, and your witness? If so, say I will. And now I want to ask the congregation if you will receive them and surround them in love, offering and extending them the grace that they will extend back to you, receiving them and bringing them into the body, the loving and imperfect, but becoming like Christ's body that we call the church. If so, say, we will. I want to invite you guys to have a seat. And at this time, we're going to call the students up two by two with their parents coming up, and we're going to bless them up here.
So the first two I call up will be William Joseph Avondette and Nora Ann Bacon.
Each of the students picked a verse. William or Bill's verse is this: listen to what God says, stand up, plead your case before the mountains, and God will hear what you have to say. We pray a prayer in a moment over this thoughtful young man, introspective, wise, worth hearing, discerning. Oh God, we lift Bill to you. We pray you would defend him and keep him and help him to walk in the ways of all who've loved you. Help him to stand strong in this way before the mountains and hear what you have to say through the whole of his life. Amen.
Nora, you are such an intelligent young woman, a leader, and you lead gracefully. We bring you before God and we say thank you for you and your family, for the way you listen and you tune your ears so carefully to his voice. You can, Nora, in fact, do all things through Christ who strengthens you, and you will continue to do that. We pray that you carry the name of this church on your back and just be you, the you God created to be, a you like there is none other. Amen.
And parents, don't forget to put the stoles on the... The next two, Zachary Reed Campbell and Jenna Ryan Henry.
Zach picked a verse that had to do with being in harmony with what's right and with who's right. In a moment, we'll pray for this really keen-minded young man, this articulate, deep, playful, inquiring, visionary person. Oh God, thank you for the gift of Zach. May he be that person who lives in harmony with you and helps others to do so. Use his bright and attractive spirit to glisten for you through Christ. Amen.
And Ryan, you shine as bright as your shoes today. You walk with a sense of confidence that other people look at and admire. And we pray that you continue to walk with that confidence throughout. God, be with Ryan and her family as she continues to grow in this church, as she continues to learn to love and be loved by you. She's an incredible spirit, and you know that. But we pray that this church be more well-rounded, more beautiful, and more effective because she's a part of it. So we pray that you take this young woman, continue to have her grow into who she's going to be, who you've called her to be. Give her parents strength and guidance. Help them be close to you as she continues to grow. And help her to continue to be an awesome young sister. In your name we pray. Amen.
Claire Nicole Janme and Konstantinos Yurgos Paniotou. Thank you for your grace.
Claire chose this beautiful passage that's so congruent to herself. Lead me in your truth and teach me, for you will be my whole life. If you were teaching a confirmation class, you would want Claire in it. Respectful, quiet, E.F. Hutton-like. And when she says something, the whole group just stops and listens and know that God has begun to answer the passage of her heart, that he is leading her in truth and speaking it gently and beautifully through her. Dear God, we lift Claire to you. We pray you would keep her close and help her to walk in a way that follows in the path that all who loved you went before. Amen.
Dino, this is a young man who needs no introduction because he probably already introduced himself to you first. He carries with him gentlemanly qualities, and he takes pride in who he is and who he's come from and who he's becoming as a man. Lord God, we pray that you're with Dino as he continues to grow. We pray that you stand beside Dino as he's an older brother and he shows his sister what life is and what things are all about. You've given him an incredible heart that is impossible to be replicated. So we pray that as Dino becomes a young man into a full-grown man, you stand beside him the whole way through his parents and through his grandma and be present in his life and continue to encourage him so that he believes in himself and who he is called to be in your name. Amen.
Adam Alvin Swab and David Arthur Swab.
If you don't know Adam, you will soon. He's the kind of person you look up to, and when you need advice, when you need to know about the stock market or where to invest your money, Adam is your guy. God, I want to pray for Adam and his family, for the amazing young man he is and who he's becoming, how he's an older brother to two, and he takes that responsibility so seriously. He is a man chasing after your own heart. We pray that you bring peace in his life and confidence to his spirit, that he continue to grow and become like you day after day. And again, be with his parents as they so intimately know you now and will continue to as well. Pray for this family and for Adam. Amen.
It's so interesting that people, we ache to tell our own story, don't we? Like one way or another, it creeps out through the water table. And I'm amazed at how the verses these young men and women chose represent and tell so much of their story. David's goes like this: be strong, take courage, and wait upon the Lord. The two words that came to us about David before we even saw his passage were, he's strong, he's a leader, he's grounded, he's anchored, and he's cautious, and he's careful, because he knows that people follow in many ways. It just aligns perfect with this as we pray it over him. God, thank you for the strength given David. Thank you for his noble and respectful and careful qualities. Thank you for his wisdom to wait, to look, to check upon you before he steps. We pray that prayer over the rest of his life through Christ. Amen.
Avery Kate Scullin and Casey Eric Swiger.
Over Avery, this clever, fun, awestruck person who knows what wonder looks like and awakens it in others. Quiet, thoughtful, careful, and yet asking the questions we wished we had the courage to ask. Oh God, over Avery, we pray your strength and courage to walk in your ways, to love in your ways, and to remain with you the rest of her life and beyond through Christ. Amen.
Casey, your quiet confidence follows you as you walk, as you're learning to lead as an older brother. We're super proud of who you're becoming, and it was a privilege to get to know you this past year. Casey, I pray that you be the light that God has called you to be, that he shine through you, that he continue to give such quiet confidence to you so that when you speak, you always speak at the right time with the right words. So thankful that you're finding such a voice, and not just your own, but Christ's through you. Thank you, Casey. Amen.
And finally, Frank Elton Washburn.
A keen blend between a bright mind and a willingness to express it. Again, the questions he asks are the ones that everybody in class wished they asked. Vocal, resourceful, others-focused, a gentle man. The verse he chose, the way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but the wise will listen to God. Oh God, over Frank, we pray that he would lean on you and trust you and find deeper pools to swim and ways to care for others as he does so. Through Christ, amen. Proud of you. Yeah, thank you.
Thanks a lot.
And so we ask you all, as you swell with pride as the church got a little bit bigger this day, how do you welcome these young people into the body of Christ?
There was a church that with whom I worked when I was a superintendent, one church of 61 that was extremely contentious. They would write these grumpy notes about their pastor, then the next pastor, then the next pastor, then the next pastor. You know what I'm saying? I mean, they'd have lists of things they didn't like about each other, and they didn't like me, and they didn't like the denomination. One time they sent me this big, long letter, and it had to do with, they had a petition, and they had stuff. So I wrote this nice letter back and just said, you know, for God so loved the world, he didn't send mean letters. So I said, maybe it'd be good for us to talk instead of write. And right before it mailed out, the secretary said, Dave, did you mean to write on the so-and-so untied Methodist church? And I said, I thought it was the United Methodist Church. He said, you wrote untied on the thing. And it almost went like that because the spell check didn't get it. But I thought, how appropriate, because they were, you know, they were just this mess. They were just a big honking mess. And I'm amazed at how God looks at the mess of our lives and the lives of sometimes churches and people who are tugging and pulling and trying to find their way across the tightrope of what life brings to us. And sometimes we mean well and mess it up, and sometimes we don't mean well at all. Communion is this hope that God comes to us with unconditional love and says that we're free, forgiven, released. He loved us so much he didn't send a mean letter or another angry prophet. He sent his son to lay down his life. On the night in which Jesus was betrayed, he took bread. He said, this is my body torn apart for the love of you. Take, eat, and remember.
And when that supper was over, when everybody was gathered around the table, the disciples and Christ, he took the cup and he said to them, drink of this, all of you, for this is my blood of the new covenant, poured out for you for the forgiveness of sins, for you and for many. Do this every time you drink it in remembrance of me.
I'd like to invite up our communion stewards who are helping to serve communion this morning. And as they come, let me just offer a little bit of ground rule here. First, we have a gluten-free station just right here. If you step right to the edge of the table, we'll serve you here with gluten-free if you have that need. And then there will be stations on either side of us to serve you as you come. There are models of blue buses on either end of the aisle. If you have change or a second mile gift, that money will be translated directly into food that serves the hungry of Cleveland through our blue bus. But finally, whether you come today and you're from a church or you're not from a church, whether you're united or whether you're untied, whether you're angry at church life and thinking it's a waste of time and you lost a bet or you had to support a family member, so here you were, or whether you just hope again that maybe if God could see what he sees in this world and still come in love, he would come again today. And he would break bread and hand it to you and say, I would die for you all over again, to forgive you, to love you, and to bring hope for you. So when we take communion, it's our chance to ingest or take Christ, the life of Christ, into us. And every person is welcome to do that here, whether you're from a church or not from a church, whether you thought you gave up on church or not. But a moment to come very close to the unconditional, unmerited, free gift of God's grace. Bread will be broken and handed to you with the words, body of Christ, broken. And grace is never grabbed at, so you just simply need to receive it as a gift. And then a cup will be offered, so before you eat it real quick, you'll want to dip a part of the bread into the cup, hearing the words, the blood of Christ shed for you. And as you receive that, it's God's hope you would receive him. The gift of him, his love, his forgiveness, his new beginning. So now for all who ache and hope and long for the possibility that God might not be angry and hateful, but open and embracing, we'll invite you to come. Pray with me.